Good evening and good morning when you hear this. It's Wednesday, July 15th, 2026, and this is Pip Install, your daily download on power, security and the machines. Yesterday we told you a blockade was coming at 4 o'clock. It came. As of Tuesday afternoon, the United States Navy is blockading the entire coastline of Iran, and by tonight the President had turned it into something stranger. On a call to Fox News, he said America won't just guard the strait, it'll run it, and take a fifth of the oil for the service. That's the lead. Then the quiet story that matters more than it trends. 8 of the world's most powerful AI labs just moved behind the Pentagon's classified wall. And in South Carolina, they filled Lindsey Graham's Senate seat with his own sister. Let's install today's update. Start at the water, again, because the thing analysts have warned about for years actually happened. At 4 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, U.S. Central Command began enforcing a naval blockade of Iran. Not a symbolic one. Freya, read the terms.
They are sweeping. Central Command says the blockade encompasses the entirety of the Iranian coastline, every port, every oil terminal, and applies to all vessel traffic, regardless of flag. That last phrase is the one to sit with. Regardless of flag means the US Navy is now asserting the right to stop anyone's ship bound for Iran. This is the first American blockade of the Strait of Hormuz in decades. And watch the toll whipsaw, because it shows how improvised this is. Monday, President Trump floated a 20% charge on cargo crossing the strait. Protection money, effectively. By Tuesday, after the United Nations' own maritime agency said flatly there is no legal basis to charge ships for using an international strait, it was reported dead. And then, Tuesday evening, on a phone call to Fox News, he brought it straight back, and bigger.
The United States will be the guardian angel of the Strait of Hormuz.
So America, he said, will keep the strait and probably run it, be the guardian angel of it, and be reimbursed 20% of the oil passing through. A charge floated Monday, buried Tuesday morning, resurrected Tuesday night. That is not a strategy. It is a doctrine written out loud on live television, changing between newscasts.
Stack, what a blockade actually means, and the price.
It means the war just changed category. Airstrikes degrade. A blockade occupies. It puts American warships permanently athwart another nation's coast and dares the world's shipping to test them. Legally and historically, a blockade is an act of war, full stop. And the president has been perfectly blunt about the regime he's now throwing a noose around.
And they're vicious, violent people.
Which is the mood music. And on that same call, he escalated the threat itself. If Iran tries to shut the strait, he said, the United States won't merely reopen it, it will take control of it. So the doctrine tonight is a president musing, live on air, about running a foreign waterway and skimming its oil, backed by warships already on station. A campaign with no defined end state and now no defined limit. On the money. Brent crude is around $85, US crude around $80, both up again. But the sharper signal is that ship owners are simply pausing. When the risk premium gets high enough, the tankers don't wait for permission or protection, they just stop. A fifth of the world's oil moved through that strait before this war. You cannot blockade one side of it and expect the other side to flow normally.
And overnight, Freya, it widened.
Badly. A fourth straight night of US strikes. Iran fired back at American bases in Kuwait, Bahrain and Jordan. And Iran's own deputy foreign minister said the blockade has, his word, dismantled the Islamabad memorandum. The ceasefire framework the two sides signed weeks ago is now, by Tehran's own account, dead. Then the war reached for a second choke point. The Houthis in Yemen threatened to close the Bab al-Mandeb, the strait at the bottom of the Red Sea, in what they called an operational alliance with Iran. Read the map. This is no longer a fight over one waterway. It's the top and the bottom of the Arabian Peninsula, The two straits that gate much of the world's oil, threatened at once. The blockade didn't contain the war, it spread it.
Bash, the floor.
The floor is that a blockade is a slow siege, and sieges are aimed at populations. Cut off Iran's ports, and you don't just squeeze the Revolutionary Guard. You squeeze the price of bread in Tehran, the fuel in the ambulance, the wheat on the ship that wasn't carrying weapons. That's the design. And I'll say again what this show always says. The regime that started this, that spent a ceasefire building a bureaucracy to tax the sea and then fired missiles into tankers, earned the world's fury. And the people who will feel this blockade first are the ones with the least say in any of it. Both things stay true. A brutal government picked this fight. Ordinary Iranians and the crews of a dozen flags will pay the interest on it.
Watch two things. Whether any ship tries to run the blockade, that's the flashpoint, and where oil opens. If Brent clears 100, the strait stops being a headline and becomes a household number. A hard turn home. Because under the noise of the war, a second security story broke that you should not miss. Bash.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement has suspended most of its vehicle stops across the country. Not on principle, on damage control. In about a week, ICE agents have shot and killed at least two people. Joanne Sebastian Duran Guerrero and, days earlier in Houston, Lorenzo Salgado Araujo, 52, a Mexican father who lived in this country for decades. Follow the sequence because it's the whole story. An agency escalates to where it kills two men in a week and then quietly pulls its own officers off traffic stops. That is a confession with no sorry in it. Two families are burying someone this week, and the brakes went on only after the bodies. So watch the verb. Suspended can mean reformed. It can also just mean paused until the cameras leave.
When enforcers quietly retire their own tactics, believe the retreat, not the statement. Now, the story we care about most on this show, and almost nobody led with today. While everyone watched the water, the Pentagon quietly moved the frontier of artificial intelligence behind its classified wall. Stack.
The War Department has signed agreements with 8 of the world's leading frontier AI companies to deploy their most advanced models on the department's classified networks for, in their words, lawful operational use. 8 of the labs building the most capable systems on Earth are now wired into America's secret infrastructure. And running alongside it, DARPA, the Pentagon's mad science arm, together with the National Science Foundation, launched a program called AI Forge. And read what it's actually chasing. AI interpretability, understanding why a model does what it does. And AI control, tools that provide, quote, strong evidence of bounded and reliable model behavior. Sit with that. The most powerful military on Earth is racing to put frontier AI into classified systems, and simultaneously funding a crash program to figure out how to understand and contain the very AI it's deploying. They are building the engine and the brakes at the same time, and betting the brakes arrive first.
That tension, deploy fast, control later, is the whole ball game in AI policy, and now it's inside the classified networks where you can't see it. So what? When the government tells you AI safety is a luxury, remember that its own defence researchers are spending real money trying to build bounded and reliable models. Because on a classified network, a model that surprises you isn't a bug report, it's a breach. Watch which 8 labs. It tells you who the government trusts with the keys. And finally to South Carolina, where the seat of the Senate's loudest hawk got filled in the most Washington way imaginable, HEAP.
Oh, it's a choice. Lindsey Graham died Saturday. By Tuesday, Governor Henry McMaster had named his replacement to finish the term. And it's Graham's sister, Darlene Graham. President Trump personally recommended her, calling it, his words, a fabulous tribute to Lindsay. Now look, it's a caretaker seat through January. It's a genuine kindness to a grieving family, and there's a real tenderness in it. But it is also the purest example of Washington as family business you will see this year. The hawk dies, and the seat passes, for a season, to a Graham. The actual fight is already on underneath it. There's a special Republican primary, August 11th. Candidates can file starting the 21st. And Congresswoman Nancy Mace is reportedly circling hard. So the tribute is touching, the placeholder is temporary, and the scramble for a safe Senate seat started roughly before the flowers arrived. That's the town, that's the game.
A tribute on top, a knife fight underneath. Washington in one appointment. That's your install for Wednesday, July 15th. Watch the blockade for the ship that tests it, watch which lab's got the keys, and watch South Carolina fill a Hawks seat by August. The analysis is Anna Dudley's. I just handed you the update. I'm Pip. Package install success. We'll see you on the next install.